keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And thanks for staying with us here today on AOA, Agriculture of America. As we continue our program, some news out in the dairy industry. The National Milk Producers Federation, along with the U.S. Dairy Export Council, is calling on the U.S. government to look to preempt Colombian trade barriers potentially impacting dairy trade. We also want to get an update on the latest surrounding federal milk marketing orders, FMMOs. Joining us now for a conversation, he is Executive Vice President, Policy Development and Strategy for the National Milk Producers Federation. Jaime Castaneda is with us here today. Jaime, thanks for joining us on AOA. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Well, let's start with this Colombian trade barrier issue. What exactly is going on here, and why are we calling on the U.S. government to try and preempt any trade barriers here, so to speak? What's the latest here, Jaime?
Yeah, the latest is that the Colombia government is a leftist, very unpopular government, and they're trying to do whatever they can to gain some points. So they initiated an investigation. It's called the countervailing duty investigation. What that entails is that Colombia is alleging that our subsidies to milk powder exports, which there's none, is really impacting directly their producers. So basically the investigation is meritless. It has no basis. There's absolutely no linkage, but it is politically motivated. So therefore, we have asked our government to talk to the Colombian government to let them know very specifically that if they continue with this investigation and they issue higher tariffs against our products, then there will be consequences to that.
It's interesting that Colombia is doing this, and I think about, for instance, the success of the U.S.-Colombia Free Trade Agreement that has been out there. And if I remember right, earlier this year, I think Colombia was the one country that put a ban on meat imports due to the issues surrounding HPAI in dairy cattle, for instance, and other animals. And so it feels like, to your point, Colombia has really been looking for different ways to essentially, I guess, harm the trade relationship between its country and the U.S., and this just feels like the latest in some of those attempts, Jaime.
You're absolutely right, Jesse. I couldn't have explained it better. They have not only, they're the only country in the world that they have actually imposed this ban on beef, U.S. beef exports, as you say. They have actually issued bans against our own poultry. They have initiated studies, investigations against a number of other countries. And don't be surprised if they start an investigation against corn from the U.S. too.
Yeah, and that's something we don't want to see. I guess moving forward, does this fall more on, say, Congress? Does it fall on the U.S. Trade Representative's office and the Ag Secretary to try and stop some of this from happening between Colombia and the U.S.? I mean, what's the view of NMPF in terms of what can be done from our side of the equation here?
Yeah, great question, and it's all of the above. In fact, we have been already in contact with Congress, and the leaders of the Free Trade Caucus, the Agricultural Trade Caucus, they have already sent a letter to the ambassador of Colombia here in the United States, expressing their concern. We have actually submitted this letter to Ambassador Tai and Secretary Vilsack, and I know that Undersecretary Taylor, Alexis Taylor, was in Colombia doing a trade mission, and she actually spoke with the Minister of Agriculture and Minister of Trade. And I know for a fact that she expressed deep concerns about this issue and offered to work with Colombia. So we'll see what they do. But, you know, let's remember that the current president of Colombia used to be a guerrilla fighter. So I don't know if we can expect much from that administration right now, but we will continue to actually work with our government to do whatever we can to prevent any disruption in trade, especially because, Jesse, you know that more than ever, dairy relies on exports for the income and revenue of their dairy farmers and dairy industry.
Absolutely. We'll watch this issue as we move forward, no doubt. We're talking with Jaime Castaneda with the National Milk Producers Federation. He is the Executive Vice President, Policy Development and Strategy for NMPF. Jaime, let's talk federal milk marketing orders. And I know this process is a very long one. It's nearing the finish line, I guess I would say, here with FMMOs. What is some of the latest that you can share where we are at in the process and what we're maybe waiting on here in regards to the federal milk marketing order updates?
Yeah, as you said, we're in the final stretch. So as you may recall, and your audience, national milk producers actually initiated this. This new sort of updating the federal milk marketing orders and understanding that actually there was a number of different things that haven't changed in a number of different years. We are very happy to see that the department cited for national milk on a number of different issues. So basically, the expectation now is that everybody has, I mean, the USDA came up with their decision. Now, all the different parties had a 60 days to respond. And I think everybody has done that. And now USDA has a number of days, I think it's 90, if I'm not wrong, to come up with a final report. And so we're expecting that actually there's not going to be significant changes from the original submission or issue recommended FM, Federal Milk Marketing Orders decision by USDA. And that we're going to be having a vote by farmers sometime early next year.
Well, we will definitely be watching for that vote, and we'll wait to see what happens. I know we need to see some of those updates to federal milk marketing orders, so we'll follow that issue as well. One other thing I wanted to talk with you about here today before we wrap up, we got a couple of minutes here, Jaime, and you brought this up to me as we were planning out our topics for the segment, and GI common names. This is an interesting subject, and I was doing a little reading on this online. Walk me through this and why this is an important issue for the dairy industry in particular.
So, you know, we're a country of immigrants, right? So a lot of European immigrants actually in the early 1900s and late 1800s actually came with their own ways of doing, producing actually the foods that they were used to eat in back in their countries. So we have been producing a lot of cheeses, actually, whether they're Italian, Greek, French, German, and so on. What has happened in the past just 25 years, so very, very recent, the European Union decided that those actually names that not only for cheeses, but for all different type of products, whether are meat products or beers or wines, that they should actually belong solely to them, regardless of the fact that actually these names have been in the public domain for so many years, hundreds of years in many cases. So let me use the perfect example of Parmesan. In Italy, there is something called Parmigiano Reggiano, which actually it is the type of Parmesan But the Parmesan term actually was a French term to refer to a type of cheese that was produced in the region of Parma in Italy. Well, since then, it is basically produced in the entire world. What the Europeans want is now that actually they should be the only ones that can be named Parmesan. Mm-hmm. So just think about it. One thing is that, for instance, when you go and buy a bottle of wine, normally you look for the grape, whether it's a white, a red, or a Cabernet, or so on. When you buy, actually, when I go buy a type of cheese, or a salami, or a sausage, I mean, you're looking for a type of that cheese, whether it's a Parmesan, or feta, or asiago, or any other type of cheese, cheddar, mozzarella. If somebody's going to try to tell you now that you cannot look for Parmesan, and the only Parmesan in the store that you're going to find is that actually the Parmesan from Italy at $25 a pound, mm-hmm. instead of actually having the best cheese, which actually we won in international context, the best Parmesan in the world, beating all the Italians, and actually we cost half of that price. And you're not going to find other Parmesan. You can find a grated Italian type of cheese. So this is extremely important because it's our growing market in the cheese yep. side. It's not the bulk, but it is the fastest growing market in not only the United States, but in the world.
Well, I know folks can learn more, commonfoodnames.com, or go to nmpf.org. Jaime Castaneda with NMPF, thanks for joining us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Debbie.
Back with more right after this.